London tennis player beats Martina Navratilova. The London Knights take their new players to Guelph. And some memories with Punch Imlach. All that and your call, too, tonight on Sports Call. Good evening, this is Gary Allen Price, and as you are well aware, London's bid for the 1991 Pan Am Games goes head-to-head with Hamilton on Sunday. And we'll be back with a whole lot on that right after this. All right, we are back 5 minutes past six on Radio 98 Sports Call. The name of the program, the number 433-3121. And once again, if you are calling long distance, don't forget to call collect. And if you are a first-time caller, please feel free to mention that to us as well, okay? Well, as everyone in London, I'm sure, knows by now, this city takes its bid for the 1991 Pan Am Games to Toronto on Sunday, where the bid committee will make its best pitch to the directors of the Canadian Olympic Association. The bid people from Hamilton will also make their presentation. After some consideration, the 44 COA directors will make one of three possible decisions. They will decide to recommend London, to recommend Hamilton, or to recommend neither. The decision will be made by a simple majority vote, and that decision will be announced at a news conference Sunday afternoon at 5:30. John Bowles from News 98 will be there. Tonight, we'd like to recap the pro and con positions on this issue. We'd like to do it briefly. It is not our intention to milk the thing or to sensationalize it in any way or to simply kick the same old arguments around one more time, but we did feel it was appropriate to get two articulate spokespeople to briefly summarize the for and against positions. And that's exactly what we have done and what we are going to do now. First of all, let's get the summary of arguments from those who are opposed to this city's bidding and hosting the 1991 Games. And to speak for them, we have on the line concerned Londoner Mark Emery. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening, Gary. Definitely, our group and myself especially are against tax funding for these kind of things, the Pan Am Games, and the 1988 Olympics, of which the federal government will be kicking a lot in, and even things like the Dome Stadium. The theme here is not that we're against sports, and I'm a soccer sponsor and coach myself, but we're against the use of municipal money for these purposes. These are basically speculative ventures, gambling, if you like, for services that are very elitist. Like this pool we're talking about might serve up to 400 elite swimmers in the city. You're talking about a capital investment of $10 million. And when you think of it, that's $25,000 per elite swimmer. The rest of us in the city can generally use our health spa pools, our apartment pools, the facilities that are already provided. So what you're asking Londoners when you ask them to support the games is, are they willing to subsidize a very small minority of people who are going to take good advantage of these services? And I don't think that's the proper role of the city. The city's proper function is to provide us with sidewalks, roads, sewers, and basic services we all benefit by.
Mark, let me just ask you a couple of quick things just to play the delicate devil's advocate for a minute here, okay? The people locally will say, Mark, you're quite right. It's going to cost us about $10 million, but in return, we're going to get some $50 million worth of facilities. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's true. You have to look at that in the further consequences. First of all, we're getting that many facilities, but who benefits by these facilities? Like I said, we have maybe 400 elite swimmers in the city, and they will certainly benefit by it. But is that who our money should be going for? And we're talking municipal, federal, and provincial tax funding here. And I'm saying no. Those people, if they feel they're entitled to a swimming pool, should raise the money on their own. After all, I don't think athletes are any more important in our society than any other person, and we all have our priorities. And if one person chooses stamp collecting and gets very serious, when they assess what they're doing, they take into account the cost of their hobby, the depth of interest they have in it, and then they go ahead and make plans. A person who is a swimmer in this day and age, or an athlete, also stands to make a great deal of revenue from their training, and it's very profitable to be an Olympic medalist now. And I think we have to take that into account. These people want to be swimmers. You know, they should want to have to pay for it. It's not, I don't want to be a swimmer. I have my own priorities, and every other Londoner in the city does too. And I think respect would dictate that we, you know, acknowledge that we all have different priorities, and it's not our job to subsidize the hobbies of others.
Mark, are you hoping that the COA on Sunday will decide to recommend neither city?
Well, I would certainly say it would be in Canada's interest and in the long term in this country's interest and in athletics' interest for them to choose neither, simply on the basis that no one is willing to privately sponsor. Both Hamilton and London are almost exclusively taxpayer-financed bids, unlike the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics, which was the most brilliantly staged event, that which was done by entirely private money. These two bids are both tax-heavy, and one of your guests in the past has stated that this is a tradition in Canada, that we finance it by taxes, but I think it's a tradition this country and this city can no longer afford in view of the fact that we need so many sewer, sidewalk, and infrastructure work done in this city, which, believe me, in the long run is far more important than serving 400 elite swimmers and whoever might happen to use a stadium. I really can't think of anybody offhand who really needs a stadium in this city as well.
Okay. Mark, I have heard through the grapevine and from, unconfirmed sources that there may be some of the opposition people in Toronto on Sunday to demonstrate and or picket and or what have you in order to make their voice heard for the final time before it goes to the COA. Are you aware of that?
I've not heard of anybody, and we certainly don't approve that. Demonstrations are an appeal to headlines, an appeal to emotion, and not an appeal to reason. And the people who are with us are more interested in getting our pamphlet, our 8-page pamphlet out, which we believe appeals to people's respect for their neighbor. It appeals to reason. It appeals to facts, information. And we believe that's the proper way to conduct this kind of campaign. And demonstrations really tend to alienate a lot of people as to what you're doing while grabbing headlines at the same time, and that's not what we've done so far. And I do not approve of that in any way, and as far as I know, we're going to wait from CFBL to hear the verdict.
Have you decided on your next steps after Sunday's decision?
Well, after they choose which city gets it, we are going to make our opinion known. I believe Hamilton's bid is just as heavily burdensome upon the taxpayer, and we are pretty sure we're going to start a mail campaign to our MPs to get the federal government to at least prohibit granting funds to Hamilton, and further making sure the province only commits a lottery money to the event, which would be the only acceptable resource. Outside of that, we are opposed to tax money going to Hamilton or London, but especially local money coming from the city here.
Mark, some people with whom I have spoken have suggested to me that your only real motive in this thing is your own personal political gain. How do you respond to that?
Well, let me say that there's no, you don't lose, you know, by taking the position that I have, it's certainly no political loss. It certainly turned out to be a popular position for me. But then you have to analyze that. If it's that popular, is it really wrong for me to benefit by all the work and effort I've done for this? I've sunk $4,000 of my own money in it, and we've received $1,200 in donations back. But on the other hand, you know, I really believed in this, and I would have believed in it if 20% of the city was in favor of it, as opposed to perhaps the 80% that really are in favor of our position. And, I have not had politics as an ultimate end in this campaign, but if I benefit by it, I certainly don't feel guilty for that. I deserve it.
Mark, anything else you'd like to say on this tonight, briefly?
No. Think we've covered everything, and I hope people, if they're still interested and are in part of the city that haven't received our brochure yet, it's a well thought out. Even our opponents have admitted that much of the information inside is really quite relevant, and I hope people will approach us and ask for a copy. It's free, and we have a number of newsletters as well that have since come out.
All right, Mark. Thank you for taking some time to chat with me tonight, and I hope you will make yourself available on Monday, too.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mark Emery.
Bye
now. 13 minutes past 6. On the pro side of the issue, we have Darwin Simotiuk, the athletics chairman at the University of Western Ontario and an active member of an active bid committee. Good evening, Darwin.
Hi, Gary. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, Coach. How about you?
Good, thanks.
All right. Darwin, can you give us the summary of arguments for those who are in favor of this city's hosting these 1991 games?
Sure, I'd be delighted to. I think the first thing that should be known is that the City Council has, the City Council of London has undertaken the responsibility of appointing a committee to work on this particular project. And the committee that it has struck is a volunteer committee. It's a representative committee. And over the last year and a half has undertaken a very diligent, conscientious job in working on very hard on behalf of a concept that they feel this community and southwestern Ontario can benefit from. I think that over the year, it's important to note that there have been public information forums which have been held, and at these public information forums, debate and question and discussion has been invited, and I think that has been a very healthy, useful exercise. I think if one were to try to quickly analyze the implications and, I guess, the potential benefits that that rest with London playing host to the 1991 games, I think these have been readily identified. And if I could just quickly summarize them for you, they would be, first of all, that the sport, recreation, and fitness movement obviously would benefit. Within our proposal is contained the thought of constructing new athletic, sport, and recreation facilities, and also upgrading existing facilities. I think it's fairly obvious to the person who is possesses knowledge in the area of sport and recreation that I think our community is not exactly in the forefront in terms of the kinds of facilities that we do have available to our citizenry. So obviously the legacy of new and upgraded facilities is a very important benefit that will be realized from this particular project. And I think in addition to providing an impetus for sport and recreation and fitness in terms of the movement, the event itself will leave a legacy of I think, trained and experienced human resources, people who will have had the opportunity to benefit from their experience in being involved in such a major sport festival. I think secondly, it's been well documented that there will be distinct economic benefits that will accrue to this community. And those benefits can be identified in the area of construction and industry, obviously. The tourism and recreation industry would benefit. And also there would be employment improvement in the area as well as a result of the construction which would be taking place, plus the creation of new jobs and maintaining some of the facilities which would be constructed. I think that financial advisors have indicated that their conservative estimate in terms of identifying the economic benefit to London and area is in excess of $500 million. And that, I would like to stress, is a conservative estimate. And I would advance the position that that kind of economic impact on an area can only benefit everyone. I think that one of the other benefits that I see in it, and this is one that I feel quite strongly about, is that I think the concept of total community involvement is one which will necessarily spring out of identification with this major community project. And I think there's a great deal to be said for community pride, community spirit, and community enthusiasm. I've had the good fortune of evidencing what this has done for the community of Edmonton and their hosting of the Commonwealth Games in 78 and more recently the World University Games in 83. And it's just had a remarkable psychological impact on the community. And I think identifying with the project and working together on a single project can really bring a city and an area together. I think in the final area is one of an impact on the cultural dimension and the academic dimension. Part of the proposal that we will be taking forward this weekend to the COA will include the proposal for London hosting a major cultural festival, which will bring together various cultural elements from countries throughout the Americas. And also being proposed is the hosting and staging of an academic conference, a sports science and sports medicine conference. And I think in that area, London has now established an outstanding worldwide
worldwide international reputation in the area of healthcare and sports medicine, and this is another great opportunity for us to showcase our community to the world. So that, I guess, in the final analysis, I view that what the committee has done is representative of what I would consider to be a fiscally accountable and responsible proposal, and one that will certainly, in my view, have a very positive impact on this community and will certainly benefit future and future generations to come. I also feel very strongly that the proposal that we're taking forward on Sunday is a proposal of vision and of courage, and one that will require a great deal of energy. And I think it's an opportunity for London and its citizens to show that we have vision, and that we have courage, and we have energy to do a great job in something.
Darwin, how much of an effect will the public dissension in this community have on the decision Sunday, and will the bid committee address that specifically in its presentation?
Well, I that's really difficult to tell. I think that one cannot get into the minds and the hearts of the people who will be doing the voting, but I'm certain that there will be a sensitivity to the discussion which has taken place in London, and I would like to say that that has been very healthy discussion, and it has identified the issues, and obviously people have to make judgments based on the various arguments which have been advanced. My position on it is quite clear, and I think that my position is shared by a great number of people in this community who feel very strongly about doing something which will benefit us in the long term.
All right. Darwin, anything else you'd like to say?
No, I think that's fine, Gary. We do appreciate having the opportunity to get these views across publicly, and we thank Radio 98 for giving us that opportunity.
Yeah, you've both been given 7 minutes here, and I've tried to be so fair, okay?
You have.
So, at any rate, I will thank you, Darwin, and I would assume that members of the bid committee will be available for comment on Sunday evening and then again on Monday.
They certainly will, and I think that this community can be assured of the fact that the bid that is being taken forward on their behalf is going to be an outstanding one, and one that they can feel very proud of.
Thank you, Darwin.
Thanks, Gary.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
That is Darwin Simoniuk, and before we heard from Mark Emery, and we would like to thank both Darwin and Mark for presenting their positions to us tonight and kind of capsulizing and summarizing the pros and the cons, the fors and against positions with respect to the 1991 Pan Am Games. Now, as you are well aware, the bid committee will make its presentation on Sunday afternoon. Hamilton will as well. And the COA directors, there are 44 of them, or as many as can possibly be there, will get together, they'll kick it around, and they will make one of three decisions. Likely they will recommend either London or Hamilton. I can't see they're going for a recommendation of neither. Okay, so I would expect that either Hamilton or London will get the nod. And as I say, John Bowles of News 98 will be there, and we'll have full coverage for you Sunday evening and again all day on Monday. It is 21 and a half minutes past 6. We'd like to hear from you. If you want to talk about the Pan Am Games, fine. If you want to talk about the Knights trades or the Leafs or any...